Hi, I'm Mitch.
That's better.
My buddy who usually sits in the front row, our senior pastor Kelly Bird, is not here today. He was called out of town on a short-term missions trip. He'll be ministering to those who are prone to gluttony, occasional fits of rage, and sometimes alcohol abuse, and have a fetish for wearing blue and white. He'll be doing that at the 50-yard line of the Indianapolis Colts game today. Actually, for a much-needed break, he's been doing tons of weddings, and he did one yesterday, so Kebra and here getting some time together, I think on Kelly style is what they're doing there. Well, this is our series on Proverbs, namely the 30 sayings of the wise, navigating through life's conflict, navigating through the storms of life, and today our topic is family. And how many people here have ever built a house or a commercial building without a set of blueprints? Raise your hand. Not one, maybe. Did it work out? Yet, when it comes to family, we're willing to go on autopilot and never experience God's blueprint for family. In preparing, I was reminded of a story. Several years ago, I used to own an auction business, and we'd sell collector cars, among other things, and I was called to make a bid or a presentation, but I had to go look at the collection, and the car collection was in a building that was weathered. It was a barn with holes in the roof, and the cars were just weathered and beaten and restorable, is how he would describe them, but they were old. And they were really valuable, even in pieces and rusty. The car collections were somewhere between $3.5 and $5 million. Well, this couple was elderly, and they lived a miserly life in spite of having that in a barn. And while on that trip, I got a chance to see their home. Their home had a kind of a cracked, dilapidated foundation. The framework of the house was leaning, and it too was cracked and beaten. And then inside the home, it was full of everything they had ever owned in boxes and things they'd ever received, not necessarily with collectibles or antiques, but just boxes of things. And you'd literally walk through the pathways to go through their house. Well, this couple had received tremendous notoriety. They had no children, and as I said, they were miserly. And they were old. And the notoriety, I was soon to find out, came from this. In this broken down wood floor on top of the dilapidated foundation of their house, someone lifted up a board. And there in the foundation of the house was a box containing $1 million worth of gold. And I went home on the plane, and I thought, you know, wasn't that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago from that time, that my life resembled that house. My pursuit of money, woven into the foundation of my life, had kind of pushed Christ aside. My framework of my house, too, was shaky, characterized by misunderstandings and distance in my relationships. And the rooms, the life of my house, were not characterized and known by good relationships, but junky ones. And today, we're going to look at God's blueprint for family. Because about 12 years ago, I had forsaken what God held most sacred, and that's family. And today, we're going to see God's blueprint for family in the 30 sayings of the wise through Solomon. God tells us that in a loving family, wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. Understanding establishes or erects on top of that foundation the framework or the framing of a family. And knowledge fills each room in that family or in that home with beautiful treasures. That's God's blueprint for family. So stand with me. We're going to read today the core verse from the 30 Sayings of the Wise. And we're going to look at three other verses. So four total sayings of the wise here related to family. We're going to hang the three on this one. And so let's read together Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Let's pray. And now, God, may the words be yours, not mine. May your Holy Spirit fill and convict the heart of every single person in this room as we study your word for your blueprint for a loving, God-honoring family. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's just jump right in and look at that first point. Wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. Proverbs 24:3. Wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. Now, we learned that the theme verse of Proverbs is Proverbs 1:7, and it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is humility. And just like every house, every building project, we dig down first in order to pour and lay a foundation. So in God's blueprint for a family, we dig down, bend the knees of our hearts, fully surrender to Christ to be the foundation or the wisdom of our family. You got that? Just as we dig down to build a house and pour a foundation, so we dig down, get on our knees, and humble ourselves to Christ to be the wisdom and the foundation of our family. And the most succinct way I've been able to describe it is we say to him, I can't, you can. I can't pay for my sin, you can. I can't lead my life, you can. And then, and only then, do we pour the foundation of God's blueprint for family of wisdom. And it's interesting. The Bible says that Christ is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is both God's righteousness and street smarts. You might want to write that down. Both God's righteousness and street smarts. If you've grown up into the church, there's a risk. There's a risk that you've caught God's righteousness void of street smarts, void of any ability to relate that righteousness to anyone outside the church. If you've grown up outside the church, there's a risk. The risk is that you've grown up learning street smarts, how to accept people, totally void of God's righteousness. Both are foolishness. Because God has designed it that the foundation would be in Jesus Christ, both God and man, both God's righteousness and man would be the foundation of every family. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 1:24, that Christ is the wisdom of God. In Proverbs 8, we don't have time to look at it, Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom with a capital W. With a capital W, and it's imagery of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, Christ before he comes to earth as a man. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11. I think it's going to come on the screen. There it is. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. He's talking about the church, which is Jesus Christ. Wisdom builds a loving family's foundation because wisdom and the foundation of God's blueprint for any family is Jesus Christ. And we're going to apply that by looking at one of the sayings of the wise. It's Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25, it's saying number 16. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25, saying number 16. Listen to your father. This is your earthly father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Remember that. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man is great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Hey, Mitch. Christ is my foundation. Why is the application? Listen to your parents. Because our earthly father and mother are a picture of the life-giving power of God. And you cannot fully surrender your life to Christ and be characterized and known by ignoring your earthly parents. I have a picture of mine I brought. This is a newspaper article that was on the wire services when my dad was the youngest state senator in the nation. I think I'm about 18 months old in that picture, and I do think that is a vest and bow tie. And I'm still recovering from being the forerunner of Pee Wee Herman's wardrobe. And look at the oil in my hair. I kid my mom, that's why it's gone. She used to lay my clothes out on my bed like a flat little man. Used to leave my underwear in the front shirt pocket. I used to leave it there. I thought it was a spare. Because of my father and my mother, and because of my father disciplining me, I obeyed my mom and dad, and I was good at it. But as an adult, I continued as a business partner to obey my dad. Not listen, but obey. Here's the problem. You might want to write this down. When you obey your parents as an adult, you make their liabilities your own. When you obey your parents as an adult, you make their liabilities your own. And so my uncle comes alongside me, and he's teaching me the 30 sayings of the wise, and he's teaching me wisdom. And he says, Mitchell, there's another way. Write this down. He said, I call it sifting. Sifting. He says, listen to your dad. And when he says truth, like we saw here in this saying of the wise, affirm it. Listen to the truth and affirm it. Listen to him and honor him when he says something, because you've studied Proverbs and you've studied the Bible and you know Christ. He said, then you can discern what's true. And you can listen to him and you can affirm that. But it's sifting to find that. And that's my challenge to you today, is to do that with your parents. You may say, hey, Mitch, they physically abused me. I know that's here. I know that. And you may not have reconciliation, but as far as it depends on you, you can have forgiveness and you can listen and sift for the truth if you have fully surrendered your life to Christ, and wisdom is the foundation of your family. Wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. You know, there's two pressure points in a foundation. One is from the side, either side, and one is from the top, which you build upon it. By seeking money and Christ, money pushed Christ out of the foundation of my life. And it was cracked and dilapidated. And that affected what I built on top of it. Wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. Understanding establishes or erects or builds on top of or perpetuates a loving family's framing, what we build on top of the foundation. Proverbs 24:3 says, understanding establishes. Just as Christ is the wisdom of God, so the Holy Spirit, understanding is used, for the Holy Spirit is imagery of him in Proverbs and elsewhere. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. But the knowledge of the Holy One, there it is, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Understanding means insight, comprehension. And it's through the Holy Spirit in our lives that we are able to understand the insight of the Holy Spirit. Our application here, saying number 11, is going to be hear your spouse. Mitch, why your spouse? Because I found that the farther our marriage goes, the more likely we are able to say the Holy Spirit can work through anyone but my spouse. Let's see what the saying has to say. And some of you, this isn't an issue, I know. The saying says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge except from your spouse. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. God's designed it so that in your family and in mine, we would hear our spouses, we would understand our spouses, and we would do that through the Holy Spirit, and that provides a framework in our relationships and in our homes. I brought a picture, and I don't know if I ask your permission. This picture is Susan about 20 years ago. And I have it on my desk at home next to my computer. This is one of those senior pictures where you take all kinds of different scenes and only one gets put in the yearbook. Well, we were high school sweethearts, so I got all those extra pictures from her. And this is my favorite one. And I have this to remember the girl I was in love with and tried to understand but didn't know really how to love. I have this picture to remember the girl I made promises to, and I broke. And I have it as a reminder to remember that what changed in our lives and in our marriage was when we allowed the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to understand one another. And I actually started, I didn't think she understood my business or understood me, so I became deaf to anything she would say. She didn't think I understood her. I was cold to her emotions. And it's changed. And if you're in that situation, it can change for you. Susan turned 40 last week. And I decided with the help of a lot of family members that I would take her away on a Thursday afternoon and bring her back on a Sunday morning. We'd do this little trip together. I'd plan it all out. I'd get the kids taken care of. And we'd have a really good time. And on Monday night, before the Thursday we were leaving, Megan, my oldest, comes up to me and says, Daddy, I think you ought to tell Mommy that you're taking her away. You don't need to tell her where. Because if you wait till Wednesday night like you're planning, she'll be overwhelmed. I go, nah. So I did. Megan goes in with me, and I say, hey, Susan, we're going to go away on Thursday for your 40th birthday. See, she was afraid that I was going to do a surprise birthday party and invite 1,000 of my closest friends. And so Susan goes, I thought, man, is Megan smart, because Susan said, no, we can't. Megan goes, yes, you can. He's got it all planned out, all figured out. And then Megan's behind her when Susan's saying, I don't think we can do this. And Megan's going, take me, take me. And so we're working through that. And here's why I'm telling you this story. We get home, and the next morning I leave for the pastor retreat, and Susan has tears in her eyes, and I'm leaving. And I said, with this gentle, sensitive spirit, I said, why are you crying? And she says, because I love to be with you. So I got this hour drive, and I'm thinking, what was the big deal about that trip? So I asked the romantic man I know. Whoa, that's an awkward statement. So I seek out the most romantic man I know, Steve Longbreak. And I said, Steve, my wife loved that trip that I planned for her 40th birthday so much that she was sad to see me go. I want this to work in my life consistently. Tell me what I did. And he says, Mitchell, she felt heard and understood. She felt heard and understood. And that's God's design of understanding through the Holy Spirit to establish a family's framework. Well, third, wisdom builds a loving family's foundation. Understanding establishes a loving family's framing. But knowledge fills a loving family's rooms with rare and beautiful treasures. Knowledge in Hebrew is experiential. It's not knowing a list of facts, mental assent. It's experiential. In fact, it's intimately experiential. Adam knew his wife. Same root word. And they had a son. Cain knew his wife. Same root word. And they had a son. Noah knew his wife. They had a son. It's designed to be intimate, an expression of love and experience. So you get what I'm saying? Knowledge is more like love than it is mental assent of facts. And love fills a loving family's rooms with rare and beautiful treasures. And the application here, and this is a picture of God the Father. God is love. This is a picture of God the Father. Wisdom, imagery of Christ, understanding, imagery of the Holy Spirit, and knowledge, or love, imagery of God. And the application here is discipline your children, because those are the rare and beautiful treasures that fill your rooms. Look at saying number 12. It's Proverbs 23, 13, and 14. Saying number 12, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. Principle, short-term consequence far outweighs a long-term crisis. Short-term consequence in love far outweighs a long-term crisis. We need to discipline our children in love. I've heard, you know what? It makes no sense to spank my child when I just told my child not to hit another kid. Yeah, it does. Because it's a different deal. People who say that don't see disciplining a child as loving a child. And look at what I'm going to have come up on the screen here. We have reinforcement, and it can be either positive or negative. And then we have punishment, and that needs to be swift, fair, and loving. So reinforcement, positive reinforcement would be rewarding your children for what they do right. How do they know what they do right? You tell them, but it's because, and this is principle of discipline and instruction in Hebrew, the same word, muskar. And there's this concept that we teach and we train and we form, and only a little bit is correction and reformative. Discipline and instruction, the same word in Hebrew. We teach, we train, and then we correct when the behavior is not what we taught and trained. Reinforcement positive. I don't do this by my nature, so I have to choose to do it. I try to find my kids doing something that we taught them, that we want to build in them, and we say, hey, good job. Dave Morris told me at the end of the first service, he would point out to his kids, people in the church, and say, hey, model that characteristic in that person. That would be a good application for you in disciplining and training your children. Train a child the way he should go. Negative reinforcement is withholding something from them when they do something wrong. Withholding something from them. And then there's punishment. Doesn't have to be the rod. Doesn't have to be spanking. But it does need to be swift. There needs to be a short distance in the time of the crime and the punishment. Imagine if you beat your dog for something he did wrong 2 weeks ago. Did he learn anything? Well, children are a lot smarter than dogs. And so the punishment needs to come quickly after the crime. It needs to be fair. No matter what a perfectionist of your car you are, whether you vacuum it once or twice a week and have it washed all the time so the black paint is shiny, if your child spills milk in your car, you don't need to beat them. No matter how bad you want to, you don't beat them. When we decided to have kids, we signed up for that kind of thing. So you got to make sure that the consequences are fair, that the consequences fit the crime. Natural consequences are the best. Sometimes they're not enough. They need to be loving. All of this needs to be done in love to raise up that child in the way that he should go. Knowledge fills a loving family's rooms, and we apply this by disciplining our children, first teaching them and training them, and then correcting them when we have willful punishment should be for willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. Wisdom. Wisdom builds a foundation. Wisdom builds a foundation. A loving family's foundation. Understanding establishes a loving family's framing. Knowledge fills a loving family's rooms with rare and beautiful treasures. I have a picture, and you might want to strategically place a picture of your children in your home. I have a picture of my three girls. It's about a year and a half old. That's Megan, who's now 14, Kelsey, who's 10, and Lily, who's 5. And then we had potentially Zoe, who is now Haley, and she'll be a year old this week. This picture of the three girls is one that we have in our bedroom, but it's a smaller version of a big picture that we have hanging above the fireplace. It's on the mantle. And when I see that picture, I remember the 2 years that I neglected my role as a father for Megan. I was talking to Megan last night, and she said about what we're going to talk about today, and she said, "Daddy, it's amazing that my first words were dada." And with total sensitivity, she said, "Is it true my second words were bye-bye? Dada, bye-bye?" And I said, "Yeah, right." So anyway, God changed me in spite of myself. I now let knowledge fill my rooms with beautiful treasures, and I love my kids. I miss my kids when I'm not with my kids. I train my kids. I teach my kids more than they want, and I do correct. We do discipline my kids, and Susan and I are in agreement in how we do that. Now, let me tie all of this together. This is amazing. Let's look at Proverbs 3:19. 3:19 and 20, I think. "By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew." Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God's blueprint for what he holds most sacred, family, is God's blueprint that flows from his heart and who he is for all creation. And when you and I let Christ be the foundation or the wisdom of our loving family's home, when you and I let understanding establish or build upon that foundation through the Holy Spirit and the framing of our families, when you and I let knowledge fill the rooms of our families with beautiful treasures and we discipline our children, then we let the community of the living God manifest himself in our homes. And I had forsaken what God held most sacred, and that's family, because it's the ultimate picture of who God is. Listen to what Paul says. It's Ephesians 3:14 through 19. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." I surrender. I can't, you can. "From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Family is a derivative of the word father in Greek, pater. It's where we get patriarch. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being," understanding, the Holy Spirit, insight, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide in this house of love, how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's amazing that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want you to strategically place pictures in your life that remind you to build your foundation with wisdom in Christ. And maybe that's a picture of your parents. If your parents aren't living, maybe you want to go get somebody, a generation 20 to 40 years ahead of you, from whom you'll sift and you'll get the truth and you'll apply that to their lives so that their assets become your assets rather than their liabilities become your liabilities. I'd like you to strategically place a picture of your spouse and remember that the Holy Spirit can help you understand your spouse and speak through your spouse and give you insight and establish or build upon your family if you just understand and hear each other. And I'd like you to strategically place a photograph of your children to remember how to love them, how to love them, how to experience them the way God intended so that your rooms are filled with beautiful treasures. And now a word to the wise. If you do these things, if wisdom builds your foundation, if understanding establishes your framework, if knowledge fills your rooms, if you listen to your parents and sift, if you understand, if you listen, if you hear your spouse, if you discipline your children, you will grow wiser still. But now a word to the foolish. If you have left your wife or your husband, go back. Don't come in to a pastor's office across the street and say, I love my wife or I love my husband, but I love this other person. Don't do it. Tell the truth. The Holy Spirit has convicted me about what's right, but I want to do the opposite anyway. Don't come into our offices across the street and say, I love my kids, but I'm leaving them for another woman or another man. Don't do it. Tell us the truth. God has convicted me, and I want to do the opposite because you got to start with the truth. I've been there, and if you don't acknowledge the truth and you don't bend your knees to the God Almighty of this universe, to Jesus Christ, and let him be the foundation of your life, you will never get out. You got to say, I can't, God. You can. That's the beginning of this blueprint. To it. And there's hope. I've been there. I've been there. There's hope. I've asked the team to come up. We sang a song from Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The revelation of the character and presence of God into your family, what he holds most sacred, the ultimate picture of his love. And I want you to sing that. And as you sing, I'd like you to think about the pictures that maybe you need to strategically place. But I'd also like you to do this. Why don't you stand? I'd also like you to do this. Could you please commit to God, to this blueprint, to his blueprint for family? Could you please commit to him what you need to commit? You got a broken relationship with your parents? Go back. You might not reconcile, but you can forgive and you can listen. You got a broken relationship with your wife? Go back. Listen. Commit to him now. You got a broken relationship with your kids. Go back, listen, honor, love, be with your kids. But for many of you here today, it's subtle. They're little bitty cracks. They're little bitty cracks. And as we sing, ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal in you what those little cracks are and commit them to him. Mm-hmm.
stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory, for holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Well, the earth is filled with His glory,
the earth is filled,
the earth is filled with His glory.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
Sing, holy is the Lord,
God Almighty. Well, the earth is filled with His glory.
The earth is filled with His glory.
The earth is filled with His glory.
It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem.
And it is, the earth is filled with the wisdom of Christ, the understanding of the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge of God the Father, and it's His blueprint. It's how He created the earth, and it's how He reveals Himself in our families, the ultimate picture of God's love. I'm going to pray and send us out. But if you're here today, and your foundation has been Christ and something, or Christ minus something. And like my life, it was money. And like that box of gold, it kind of pushed him out. And that made my understanding of the framework kind of rickety. My knowledge were filled with junk relationships. If that's you today, come forward and pray with us. After I say amen and dismiss, everybody, come forward and pray with us. I'm going to ask the pastoral staff and elders to come forward. We'll pray with you. We might not get it all figured out right here, but we can pray. Maybe you want to fully surrender your life to Christ and say, I can't. You can, God. Come and pray with us.